This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, I will tell you that when you're in this business and you have the responsibility, you know, of hosting a show for a couple hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is, in this case, 2 hours here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, you know, your job a lot of times is to set the tenor of the show, to set a direction to the tone of it. You know, I always say here on 10 to 12 on Monday and Friday, especially on Monday, and then again on Friday, that the show is about you. It's not about me, it's about you. It's a reaction show on Monday. So that's about you. You call up, you tell me what you thought about the game the previous Sunday or Thursday night or whatever. And then on Friday, a bit of a hodgepodge of that. You call up, but now we're getting towards a game. There's no reaction necessarily. And we're talking about what's going on. We mix in a little bit of other things, Sabres, especially nowadays when, you know, they're winning 10 in a row. But Friday is also Sean McDermott. And I know a lot of you tune in for that. Who's playing, who's not playing, what's going to happen on Sunday, how are they, you know, feeling about injuries, stuff like that. So that's my job today, right? To kind of set the direction, set the tone, set the tenor of the show. And I got to be really, really honest. I kind of don't know how to do that today. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. What I mean is, this show could be super emotional today. It could also be super fun. It's whatever, whichever, however you want to deal with and process what's going to happen a little more than 48 hours from now. When a lot of you start venturing into Highmark Stadium for the last time ever, or watching on TV a game played there for the last time ever, it's not going to be easy for a lot of us to go through the emotions that are going to be happening on Sunday. And again, I'm not trying to be dramatic when I say this, okay? I've been on the radio long enough to go through a lot of ups and a lot of downs and highs and lows and deal with them with you. And we all process this together. And I always appreciate everybody when they say, oh my God, like listening to you when you come on Monday after a loss or after a win, you kind of put me in the right space. And I appreciate that. That's what I try to do. But I've also been around for, unfortunately, people passing, right? Like we talk about somebody's legacy and what they meant. And I remember recently Art Wander, right? When that happened, a radio personality. I remember Ralph Wilson, of course, Kobe Bryant's death, right? Just, and stay with me for a minute here. I kind of feel like, you know, and I always say everybody processes grief differently. But one thing we do is we celebrate life when we talk about that. And I thought a little bit today, like, listen, this stadium is, it's going away. It's not going to be there anymore. And we're all very, very sad in our own way about it. But the cool part is we're celebrating its life today. That's what we're doing. We're celebrating its life over the next, we've been doing it for the whole season, but now it's here. Now it is here. It is a celebration of life of Highmark Stadium. That's what it is. The life it gave us. The life it gave our community. The life it gave the NFL. It's one of the, folks, I have been to every stadium in this league except for three of them. The only ones I haven't been to, and it was because of the COVID year, we didn't travel, Arizona, San Francisco, and Las Vegas, the new stadium there. I've been to every other venue that's currently in existence in this league. There is something special about this one. It is special. And I'm not just saying this as the Buffalo Bills sideline reporter. I'm not just saying this as a kid who grew up in Cheektowaga and went to games and came back from Syracuse University on a Greyhound bus for games during the 1990s and Super Bowl years. I'm not just saying this as a guy who's experienced all of these kind of iconic great moments inside the stadium as a fan or as a professional. I'm saying it because I've been around this league. I know what these environments are like. I've been on the sidelines. I've been in the press box. I've been in the stands at some of them. It is a special place. The new place is going to be really, really awesome. It's going to be really, really special in its own right. But we're going to take away so much of this that we have today. Talk about today. Apologies, my text was going off there. See how he ruined the moment there. That did not. But we're going to have so much to take with us from this stadium. The memories. Don't take anything physical. Okay, don't do that. We're going to have so much to remember. So many iconic moments and people. And it's so tough to explain or get through them all here on a two-hour radio show. But I want to do that today as much as I can with you. So welcome into a Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, and our Buffalo Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. Okay, let me set up the show for you today, and let me take your phone calls as well. 803-0550. I have my own memories. I'll get into them, but I want you to share yours. I did a podcast last night with Matt Bove. Always Game Day in Buffalo. Check it out. Wherever you pod, the Odyssey app, at Sal Sports on YouTube. And it was really, really awesome to go through those with him. We went for over an hour just going back and forth on this, on different things and memories and moments. So check it out. And you can get more from me there, but I'll touch on a few along the way here. But I want to hear from you today at 803-0550. We are going to have Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott about an hour from now for his weekly radio segment. Bills play the Jets, of course, on Sunday. There is a football game on Sunday on the field for 60 minutes, not just the celebration of life of Highmark Stadium. We'll also have Patrick Hammer. If you're going to the game, what's the weather going to be like? The tailgating. We'll have him at 11:30. But I got a special treat for you at 10:30, bottom of the hour. Be listening. If you watched the Bills Highmark Stadium YouTube video, the retrospective, if you watched it, it was amazing. It's phenomenal. Go watch it. If you haven't, go see it. It's 45 minutes long. It's going to make you emotional and cry. And one of the people who was very prominently featured early on, his name is Bill Munson. Bill, I think this is right, at the time he retired a few years ago, was the longest tenured Buffalo Bills employee. And he had been with the team since the schematics of the Dome in Lancaster and this stadium, Highmark Stadium. And they show it on this video. It's incredible. And Bill and I have known each other for years. And I said, hey, would you like to come on WGR with me this morning to talk a little bit about the memories of Highmark Stadium, the building of it, the memories you have? And he said, absolutely. So Bill Munson's going to join me at 10:30 a.m. I can't wait. In the meantime, let's talk to you today. Let's go to Bill in North Tonawanda, speaking of Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on WGR. Go ahead. Good to talk to you again.
Hello, Sal. Huge fan.
Thank you.
I called this morning and got cut off accidentally, which was, but I called back because I got a good one for you. I'll bet you remember it. November 13th, 2005, I was a security guard working the scoreboard end of the field. Lee Evans caught a touchdown pass, was tackled by Eric Warfield. I was run over. I broke my leg and blew out my knee. And I got my 30 seconds or whatever of fame because they wheeled me off on the gator. I got to shake hands with Lossman. Malarkey was there. He shook my hand. The paramedic who was with me, because Bud Carpenter? Who was the?
Bud Carpenter was there many years. Yep.
Yeah, Bud Carpenter was there. He's taking care of me. And as I went off, the paramedic says to me, "Why don't you give the fans a thumbs up?" Well, I threw my arms up in the air. 70,000 people cheered for me. I was, like I said, I got my 15 minutes of fame, and I'm sitting there on the laying on the ground. Wasn't in too good a shape, you know, because broke my ankle, broke just above the ankle. And my phone starts ringing. And my wife, Pam, goes, he says, "Answer it, put it on speaker." Well, all of a sudden she comes out, "Oh, my God, we saw you again. Are you okay?" And it was, you know, it was one of the most memorable things that ever happened in my life. And, you know, I got a thing on, what's his name? Chris Berman put it on his fastest 3 minutes the next day or whenever they did it. And I got that video from somebody.
Awesome.
But the best part of the whole deal, and I'll make this quick. The very next day on that Monday, the 14th, a Buffalo Bills representative came and knocked on my door. They gave me this great big chocolate chip cookie bouquet. And I got a letter that I still have that Ralph Wilson invited me to the game 2 weeks from them with my wife. And we went and saw the Carolina Panthers, Carolina, and got to sit in the press box right behind Murph, and I don't even remember who was with him. Van Miller had retired, and he was sitting over two seats.
Bill, I got a lot of people on hold here, buddy. I'm sorry, I got to go. I want to get to them too. So try to wrap it up for me.
Okay, wrapping it up. You know, the last thing is I went down to the locker room. I was on crutches. And Lee Evans says, "Anything I can do for you?" I says, "I'd like a game-used football."
Did he give it to you?
He got me a football. He got it. He signed it. Lossman signed it. And I'm a happy man.
You got it, Bill. And thanks a lot for the call, buddy. All right. We're going to move on to Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Yeah, listen. Been to many games. Love coming down. This is obviously a Canadian call. Love coming down and love the stadium. I mean, I'm also a big baseball fan, so I will always be in your city. I mean, I love AAA baseball. So, but you know, Sal, my greatest I can't tell you any great memories. Everything's been good. I love the long drive down. Even getting stuck at that damn border sometimes for too long of a time. I mean, it's always worthwhile coming down there, and it's not like it's over because the stadium is right next door. So, but my here's memories that I would like to see happen in this game that we're playing, and I know this is not going to be popular and it's going to get shot down. This is just my point of view. This is the last game there. This Buffalo team all year has not played well. We've stole victories. We've come back and we've won games, and now we're in the playoffs. This is what I would like to see in the last game. And here you go, Sal. I don't want to see us sitting that damn team out. I know Josh is hurt. I know he's beat up a little bit. I don't want to see one play and you're out of the damn game with everybody.
Okay.
I want us to go into this game.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you. If Josh Allen played more than that and he got hurt, you'd be the first person to call and say, "How stupid was that?"
No, I would not, Sal.
Okay.
That's fine. But I want to see, and this goes into the, it also being the last game of the year. If this was a game, you know, that didn't mean anything in the playoffs or stuff like that, I wouldn't say this.
It doesn't.
I want us to be ready.
Yep.
I want us to blow the Jets off.
All right. It doesn't mean anything, Billy. I gotta run, buddy. I gotta run. I totally disagree with you. I think the Bills should absolutely prioritize health in this game. Let's go to Steve, who's up next. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Hey, I was curious as to the situation with the new stadium. I hate to jump ahead, but
it's okay.
with the snow shoveling that's going on in the old stadium, anybody take a look at the seating areas now in the new stadium to see if that's going to be the same situation?
I mean, the new stadium should not have the same issues because it's built to withstand and to melt the snow.
Yeah, well, the seating area isn't so.
Yeah, I don't really know, Steve. Probably above my head. Somebody could probably answer that a little better, maybe. I'm not sure, but you shouldn't have the same. What do you mean by seating areas? Like, yes, that's right. I know in the stands, but you're going to have, you know, most of it covered. A lot of the snow will not fall into the stands. Actually, where it is right now. Let's go to Jerry in Medina. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks.
Hey, first off, big fan. Love what you bring to us listeners about the organization. You do tremendous work, man. When I think about the stadium, I've been thinking about this the last couple of days. Kind of live my life a little bit. I was in high school back during the Super Bowl runs. And at the time, it was just my mother and I lost my dad when I was young. It was just my mom and I. She couldn't afford much, but a couple times a year, I got a chance to go to games. One time, courtesy of a boss of hers that had club seats and was tremendously, great with me and took me to at least a game a year for a few year stretch. And during the same time, I would manage to get together with my uncle and my cousin. Mom would drop me off at the Pembroke rest stop to meet up with them. I'd hook up with them, go to the stadium, have a nice tailgate with them and their friends. Caught some really, really great games during that time. Probably the 51-3 whomping of the Raiders was the best during that time. And it's brought me to where I am today. 49-year-old father, it's become an annual tradition to make it to one game with my two oldest children. And it's just something that myself and my two oldest really look forward to. And I know it's probably going to be difficult, but we're kind of hoping to keep that going into the new stadium. But we'll tackle that when that comes. But that's what gets me thinking.
You got it.
About this game.
Yeah, Jerry. And I agree with you. 51-3 is number one for me. And I've said it. I said it last night on the pod. And I'll say it again here that it is almost impossible to explain to people what 51-3 was like unless you were there. It's almost impossible. You have to remember, the Bills had never been to the Super Bowl. It was their first run at it. They had gone to the AFC Championship game 2 years before and lost at Cincinnati. They had gone to Cleveland the year before that and lost in the divisional round in an epic game. And then that year, they go to the AFC Championship game after beating Miami in the snow 44-34 the week before, Kelly and Marino going at it. They go to the AFC Championship game. You are 60 minutes away from going to your first ever Super Bowl. And in the backdrop of this game was Desert Shield and Desert Storm, the first Iraq War, 1990 into 91. The patriotism off the charts, the security off the charts. And you go into the game against the Raiders, this traditional team that's won Super Bowls. They weren't far removed from their heyday of the 70s and 80s. And yeah, they hadn't been great necessarily, but you know, that mystique. And you get in there, and what's hard to explain, 41-3 at halftime. 41-3 at halftime. And for an hour and a half, essentially, 80,000 people knew the Buffalo Bills were going to the Super Bowl and partied like it. That's what 51-3 was. It wasn't too dissimilar to the perfect game against the Patriots, except the Bills weren't going to the Super Bowl, but you knew the entire second half, you have finally slayed the dragon of the Patriots, and this is now the Bills' division. And you have Josh Allen, and they don't. And people who stayed in that stadium to think about it, to revel in it, the same kind of deal. And in this case, 51-3, 1990 into 91, this is January of 91, 51-3, 35 years ago. And I was there, and I was a senior in high school, 17 years old, about to be 18 years old, with my friends. I remember on the Raiders' side of the field, first row of the upper deck. It was just euphoria. It was a relaxed euphoria, right? It was a party. It was not a nail-biting finish at all. The whole second half was a party. That tops it for me. That is number one on my list. And I don't know if you're not there. It's the same thing, I think, for people who say the comeback game. Like, everybody says they were there. I was not. It's one of the only playoff games during that run I didn't go to, actually, the comeback game. But I'm sure it's the same way. You can't explain it to people, right? That was it for me. John in Dunkirk. Hi, John. You're on WGR.
Sal, again, the 51-3 game, I was doing a handheld for NBC on the Raiders sideline that day. And I can't tell you what a complete emotional breakdown the Raiders were having. But real quick, I've been to every stadium, both old and new, and I still get chills and thrills every time I walk out onto the camera deck before the game to just look at the sheer awesomeness of our field, our current field at Highmark. It still gives me chills, and I just am going to miss it, but I'm going to look forward to, obviously, the new stadium as well. And the funniest moment ever for me was in the comeback game. We lost all camera communication in the first half. We could not speak to the director, or he could speak to us, but we couldn't speak to him. So essentially, our entire first half, we were just shooting as if our cameras were live all game until we got the communications fixed to go forward into the second half. But those are my two fondest memories. And I still get a thrill every time I walk into our stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to process on Sunday. And I've said, John, and I don't know about you, for me, it will hit me at some point. I don't know when it is. Is it going to be the first walk down the tunnel, which is the last walk, last first walk? Is it going to be during the anthem when I'm looking around and seeing the stands and the people? Is it going to be during the legend of the game? And where else would you rather be? Is it going to be at the very end of the game and not knowing how or how what to do to walk out? I don't know, but it's going to hit me at some point. You know what I mean?
I don't know if you remember, but I did say hello to you down in Houston this year because I was taking a picture with Todd Brody and Greg Harvey.
I do remember, buddy.
You take care of yourself. Thanks
too.
For doing all you do. It's
yeah,
great.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the memories, as always, when you call. I appreciate that. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are going to take a timeout. And when I come back, we're going to have Bill Munson on. Now, Bill was not only the Bills, but I think he might have been like one of the longest NFL team tenured employees until he retired a few years ago. He goes all the way back to before this stadium and the schematics of it and building it and what went into it. And if you watch the Bills retrospective video, 45 minutes on YouTube, the Farewell to Highmark, Bill is featured very prominently in the early parts of that to talk about it. And I said, man, why don't you come on with me on WGR today? He said, let's do it. So he's coming up next, Bill Munson. After this timeout, we are celebrating the life of Highmark Stadium today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR.
You know, I've been through this a little bit before when I was younger in Philadelphia, where we had Veterans Stadium over the years, and then we moved to a new stadium. So just, you know, each stadium is a little bit different from the other. And so this is such a storied stadium with so many memories and traditions, and just try and take that in as we go through the game.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott right there. I'll talk more with him today when he joins me on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show in about a little over a half hour from now on a Buffalo Football Friday. The Bills do play the Jets on Sunday, of course, and there is seeding still, implications for seedings, wins, losses, around the league. We'll get into all that a little bit later as much as we can, but today is really about the celebration of life of Highmark Stadium and the farewell and your phone calls at 803-0550. And joining me right now on the West Her Hotline, if you watched the Bills' incredible, awesome video.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On YouTube, it's called Farewell Highmark Stadium, the moments and memories that define the Buffalo Bills home. This man was featured prominently in the early stages, especially Bill Munson, who at the time, I think with the time you retired a few years ago, were you the longest tenured employee of the Bills at the time?
You're trying to show my age, though. yes, I was, and probably still am, because everybody seems to get fired before they get any time in anymore with the NFL.
All right, so let's just familiarize our listeners with you a little bit. Tell everybody just kind of what your role was over the years, your entry point in with the team, and, you know, the time you spent with the team, and what your titles were, basically.
Well, I had 14 different titles over 44 years.
Wow.
Hired initially, I worked for the general manager, Bob Lustig, reported, though, to Mr. Wilson, as I did over my tenure, and the head coach was Lou Saban, and O.J. was at his height. And then I worked through I oversaw the tickets and marketing and stadium operations, handled most of the payroll analysis, PR, and that kind of. We had only 20, 25 people. Now there's 200. So it's a little bit different when I was working in there in 72, 73 than it is now 50-some years later.
There's so many different tentacles to what we could talk about here, and you have so many great stories, and I really invite people to go watch this video I just referenced. But I want to ask you about kind of the building of this stadium, the building of the new stadium, the renovations that happened, all the different timelines along the way, and what it was like being a part of all that, because I'll tell you, Bill, growing up, all I was ever told in the 1980s was the Bills aren't going to be here very long. Ralph, will, at some point,
well,
Ralph is going to pass.
Let me give you a history.
Yeah, go ahead. And what was it like?
In April, May of 1971, at the request of Governor Rockefeller, he had the New York State Urban Development Corp commissioned an architectural engineering firm called Finch Heary out of Atlanta to prepare a schematic feasibility report on a new football stadium for Erie County. Now, people didn't realize, but Finch Heary basically was the main sports architect for the U.S. They did the Atlanta Stadium, Riverfront Stadium, the old Schaefer Stadium,
Yeah. And
the like. But that actually grew then a year later, May 1st of 1972, construction started in our stadium, and the substantial completion date was August 8th. First game preseason was the 17th. I remember that from memory because of what I went through to help make that a real 15 months it was completed. That's incredible. And what's even more incredible was the contractual budget figure by Finch Heary was $20,600,000, and we came in at $19,700,000.
Wow.
Under budget for the completion of an 80,000-seat stadium. And what's even more interesting is, and this was never brought up, and it's a historical fact, there was a guy named Ron Lubinsky. Ron Lubinsky was born in Buffalo, moved to Kansas City, and in 1983, he co-founded HOK Sports, which became Populous and is now the controlling architect for the new stadium. And Ron Lubinsky, anybody in sports internationally, he was the godfather of sports venue design. He began his career with a company in Kansas City called Kivett & Myers at the time, and he was a project engineer for Arrowhead. And then he became involved in the later couple months in our stadium in the completion. So there was a bond between, if you look at the Spartan-type shape that our stadium is, in Arrowhead, we're basically Arrowhead without the glitz and glamour. Arrowhead was completed in 72 for about $43 million. Ours, obviously, at $19,700,000. So it's incredible how the carryover,
and
I feel real good about that. He passed away in 2023. I was a very dear friend of his. And again, Ron Lubinsky was internationally renowned. And if you ask Radisek, Scotty, about it, I think he hired Radisek, too, when he was finished playing with us. But he co-founded in 83, Ron Lubinsky, he co-founded what became Populous when it was HOK. So there's a bond between the old and the new, and it makes me feel real good inside because he, as I said, grew up as a godfather of sports venue design.
All right, so I know people could go back and learn the history about the Dome was going to get built in Lancaster. It didn't happen. There were lawsuits. But let's just say this stadium does not get built in Orchard Park. Are the Buffalo Bills still in Buffalo? Tell us about that.
Well, we had an opportunity, and I was with Mr. Wilson at the time. We had an opportunity to visit Seattle. And Ralph never wanted to leave Buffalo. He wanted to get it done, but he also wanted to get the best deal for the Buffalo Bills. Like any negotiation, mm-hmm. it became they're going to leave, they're going to go. Ralph never wanted a dome. Ralph wanted an open-air facility. He always, in the Silver Dome in Detroit, he was obviously there. It's different than the open air. In open air, as the weather gets colder, it's an experience that you obviously don't have in the artificial environment. That's what I call the dome. Not that I'm against domes, but in terms of what we have in Buffalo, it is really clearly an open air facility that we need and that we have and that we're going to continue having, which is great. And Ralph would have never left Buffalo. I've just under 45 years with him, never has he wavered but his support for the Buffalo area.
Bill Munson joining us here. He is a former Buffalo Bills employee, VP. He's done a lot of everything with the Buffalo Bills. When you think about all of the games that you've attended, all the games that have happened since 1973 up until now, what comes to mind first and foremost for you?
Well, the first August 1773, obviously, because I was so involved in the construction aspect of the stadium, and I was the one that the general manager at the time, Bob Lustig, said, Munson, I want you to figure out a giveaway that you can come up with for our 80,000 fans, and I will take the credit for calling the Boy Scouts of America, and we had 10 different fire departments that we worked out of to put together the I Was There card and coin for 80,000 people when they came into the stadium. And I understand it was a lot of people didn't get in until halftime because it was a brand-new facility with country roads and all that kind of stuff. But I guess that I have that in my mind because if it didn't work, I probably would have been teaching somewhere, and that helped me keep my job, and it was something that still today, I think, Sal, people still have the I Was There card and coin. Yeah. And the other game, just because I was a competitor and I always wanted to win, was our first playoff game in 89 against Houston, and I recall. We won that 17-10, I believe. And that, because it was our first playoff game in our new stadium, has remained with me. The date and everything has remained in my mind forever. And the other thing that amazes me, you want to talk about cooperation and how we can use the facility for different things, were all the Summerfest 1, 2, 3, and 4 concert venues that we had in the 70s, 74, 5, 6, and 7. And you're talking about the Grateful Dead, Rolling Stones, Kiki Dee and Elton John, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, on and on and on. And we had, in some of those venues, we really didn't announce it, but we had close to 90,000 people for the first Rolling Stones venue.
Amazing.
And that was something, and I was overseeing the operations, and my heart, because I was saying, please, don't have anybody have anything happen in a derogatory sense for these concerts, because I would have had my tail on the ground. It was unbelievable, the change in the drum corps that we had, that over and above sale of the football games that we had. But that kind of remains in my mind over the 45 years.
I was there, 88 season, 89. Steve Tasker causes the fumble on the punt to Curtis Duncan. Yeah. Bills recover it. They win the game. I remember that. And then a couple of years later is my number one in that stadium. And I've been saying this to people who anytime anybody asks, through all these retrospectives, 51-3 is the number one for me, Bill, because it was. It was a party for the entire second half. We were up 41-3 at halftime. Come on.
And then again, when the goalpost came down, that was and I was in charge of the stadium. Then I'm thinking, oh boy, am I going to get fired for this? It's just the memories. They just come back to me, and it's great to see, because I know football's evolved from football into more or less market ball, and I guess the revenue from newness. And I know after I watched the Rose Bowl game, 104-year-old venue, Ohio Stadium, 102 years old or something, and Green Bay's got to be close to 70 years old. But, you know, I understand how things progress, and it moves up. And we had, for example, when the stadium was built, we knew we could improve, and we have. We retrofitted with the restroom towers because we needed more restrooms. And I know people complained about the stainless steel urinals, which have survived 50 years in the men's room. And the fact that we were able to retrofit, we started with 80,000, 580, and we had 34 suites. We grew it to 130 suites. And then with the upper levels each held 12,500 people. Because of the way it was built, we could have reduced those to half that venue. But in terms of the stadium itself, the retrofitting that we were able to do with the dugout suites and everything else was because of the original design, that is, as I call it, the Spartan type of design that we had. And our base was a great absorption base. It was slate, so we didn't have to worry about a lot of water problems that a lot of these other stadiums that were built and did not actually take anything out and had clay instead of slate bases. So it was a very functionally well-built facility that we were able to retrofit over a 50-year period.
53 years. I mean, come on. I'm in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago, and they're getting a new one after 26 years, right? I'm like, come on, right? What's going on here? 53 years. It's amazing.
It's all market. It's all market-built now. And the league wants that, and I understand it, much like they're doing with the international games.
Last thing before I let you go, Bill Monson, thank you very much for the historical retrospective here.
No problem.
But we're going to look forward to the new stadium. And you're still a big part of this community. You've been with this organization and just until a few years ago when you retired. And I know you were all part of, you know, thinking about and part of the pre-planning and anything that went into all that's happening now. And what's your feelings on what's happening here and next year opening up this new facility?
Listen, I'm terribly excited. Turner brought me on I had a personal tour of the stadium about a month ago, and we spent a good almost 3 hours in the facility, walked through everything, and it's wonderful to see. And as I told them there, I even though I'm not involved, I still bleed red, white, and blue. Always will, always have. It's the only job I've had, and it gets me emotional. Yeah. It's great.
Love you, buddy. Thanks for doing this today.
Thanks, Sal. Okay.
You got it. You got it. Bye. Yeah, man. They right there. That's it. That hits you, right? It's Bill Monson, man. He was with the Bills since before this stadium was built until just, 5-6 years ago, I think he might have retired.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pretty amazing. Love that. Love the ending there. Didn't mean to make him a little emotional and choked up there. We'll take a timeout here. More of your phone calls. Sean McDermott on the way. Pat Hammer on the way. 803-0550, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Okay, let's get to some phone calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Luke is in Buffalo. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Sal. First off, just don't want to pump your tires too much. Just want to say that you're the man. This Buffalo fan base is absolutely blessed to have you. Thank you for what you do. But quick story, my best experience at the Ralph at Highmark, maybe low-hanging fruit, but it was when Nyheim Hines returned two kick returns for a touchdown. I don't really get the opportunity to go to too many games, and it was awesome that I could go to this. you know, coming off that DeMar Hamlin incident and the energy in that building, it was just a really incredible moment that I'll remember for the rest of my life. And my brother lives in Florida now, and I'm glad it's a memory that we'll share together. It was just amazing. But, yeah, thanks for taking my call, sir. And
yep. Go Bills. You got it. Thank you for the kind words. Amazing moment in that stadium. Amazing memories. The opening kickoff, people crying, emotional. Absolutely incredible. Mark in Parkside. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I want to say a couple things. Yeah, I was at that 51-3 game also, and just the image of the silver and black versus the red, white, and blue. It was just such a, like you said, emotional day. But another game I wanted to talk about was in 1988 when they won the AFC East against the Jets in overtime to 9-6. We bought, you know, back in the day, scalping was illegal. We bought two seats about an hour before game time, and we walked away from the two dudes, and we took about 20 steps, and we looked at the tickets, and they weren't together. And I was like, hey, man, you sold me seats that aren't together. And the guy was like, what are you going to do about it? I'm like, well, I'm going to tell the cops that you're scalping, which is illegal. And before I knew it, like, there were a bunch of his buddies around, and I'm like, okay, we'll eat these ones, and we'll go get buy other tickets. So we went up in front of the stadium about 30 minutes before game time, got two killer seats, like at the 50-yard line, seven rows up. And we started walking down the aisleway as the usher, which was like older person, was walking us to the seats. We got to the seats. Next thing we know, two guys in yellow jackets show up and say, come with us. I'm like, what? And then as we were walking back up the aisle, guys in blue jackets showed up and said, come with us. And then we know the police. We were in the bottom of the press box in a small room, and a gentleman from the Bills came in and said, you guys are in trouble. These tickets were stolen through the mail. And I was like, oh, wait a second. I bought them from a kid with an Ozzy Osbourne shirt right out front. You know, my father has 20, is a part of an organization that at the time had 26 season tickets per year. I know that they come in the mail in this big packet. Like, I understand. I did not steal them. So eventually they let us go, and they said, try and find a seat. Well, it was a sellout, so we just walked from concourse opening to concourse opening before the usher said, hey, you can't stand here. I'm like, yeah, I know, so we go to the next one. And we ended up at the tunnel again when the game ended, the overtime kick, and my buddy's like, let's go on the field. And I was like, let's not. We're pretty lucky that we were still able to see this game, you know. And we just watched other people go down, take down the goalposts, hung around, watched it go up to the top of the stadium, get thrown over, counted our blessings. But that was an emotional
day. Amazing. Emotional day. I'm sure it was. Amazing memory. Emotional day for sure. Kind of a whirlwind day for you there. Let's go to Mike on the road. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
And thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
Spent a lot of time with you and the team there in my ear.
You got it, buddy.
Keep me informed and entertained. Driving up to go to the game, of course, meeting my sister flying in from St. Louis, brother flying in from Birmingham, and niece flying in from Texas. Means a lot to us. I've been lucky enough to go to a couple of the games mentioned. Was at the Nyheim Hines game, and I was at the 51-3 game underneath the largest flag in the end zone. And it's definitely tops of the list, but just wanted to bring up one game that I don't think I've heard anybody mention, which was against the then Phoenix Cardinals. It was just a terrible weather game, but twice Rich Camarillo, the Cardinals punter, punted it up in the air, and it was so windy that the ball just carried right over his head and landed behind him.
Amazing.
He had a net negative yardage for the day because And it was one of those things that the more the Cardinals showed they hated it, the warmer it got for the fans and the Bills.
Yeah.
Leonard Smith and Bruce Smith pumping up the crowd. It was unforgettable.
I love that. You know what? There's some great video of that, by the way, Mike. Thanks for sharing it online. Go to YouTube. You can see that game and what he's talking about. Real quick, let's go to Frank in Chicago before a break. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Sal. Appreciate you taking my call.
You got it.
So two things. My dad grew up in Orchard Park, and his older brother was best friends with Dr. Godfrey. Dr. Godfrey was the first physician for the Buffalo Bills when they became a team back in the 60s. And so they would go to games at the Rock Pile and, like, sit at the end of the bench with, like, Jack Kemp and Cookie Gilchrist and all that. But when the stadium got built in Orchard Park, my dad never went to a game. And so I took him to his very first game, last year against the Kansas City Chiefs, and we were in the end zone when Josh made that run. You know, Jim Nance, play of the year, NFL, all that stuff. But right before the ball was snapped, my dad leaned over to me and said, "Man, what a game." And then that happened. And, I mean, I'm getting emotional, but incredible. Thanks for all you do. Yeah. Go Bills.
You got it.
Let's get after it this weekend.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Frank. I appreciate that. Sean McDermott joins me for his weekly radio segment on the other side of the 11 a.m. hour, but we still have time for a few of your calls. Keep them rolling in. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio with you today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and a Buffalo Football Friday. And, of course, getting connected with you as always. Getting connected with our fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sean McDermott and then Pat Hammer. More of your phone calls as well here on WGR.
King Jackson. Stays in the block. Jackson fires, and that will be intercepted in the end zone by Johnson. Karen Johnson. And only Jackson can stop him now. Too late to the end zone. Touchdown.
Also, one of the greatest moments ever for me inside that stadium. That's during the COVID year. There's only about 7,000 people in the stands. That's Bills, Ravens, Karen Johnson, pick six. Amazing. We're working through a lot of these memories today. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And, of course, it's brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. Sean McDermott's going to join me here in a little while. We're still taking your calls. Pat Hammer at the bottom of the hour if you're going to the game, what the weather is going to be like as well. We got to get to all that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Let's get to more of your phone calls here today. Jared is up next, who's in, where are you? Mansfield, it says, I think. Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, I'm in Shrewsbury, New York here, Sal.
All
Happy
right.
New Year.
You got it.
Yeah, thanks for the interview with Mr. Munson. That was really fantastic.
Thank you.
That was really
he was. Munson's great. Be,
yeah, that was really good. I'm going to be turning 40 this year, so most of my memories in the stadium for Bills games was during the drought seasons. My dad took me to a few games in the 90s when I was probably too young. But my main memory growing up was when in the 99 season when the Bills hosted the Eagles earlier that season. And we're Syracuse fans, and McNabb was just drafted by the Eagles that year. Mm-hmm. So we went to the game hoping that the Bills could take care of our business so McNabb could get in, and he did. And that was a pretty cool experience, see my favorite team win, but also see McNabb play. I was also at the 22 home opener versus the Jets. That's the time that I became a Jets hater for them ruining that home opener with Bledsoe just signing. You got the new uniforms. Bledsoe leads them down at the end. The stadium goes crazy when he hits Eric Molds. And then Chad Morton brings back the OT kickoff and just destroys everybody's spirits.
I think you said 22, but you meant 02, obviously. 02, yeah, for sure. He had two kickoff returns for touchdowns that game. It went to overtime, and he got one. Thank you very much, Jared. I appreciate the phone call. Alan's in Toronto. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Sal. January 15th, 1994. You didn't need a shoehorn to get into that game because it was only 61,923, and it was played in bitter cold temperatures. Los Angeles Raiders 23, Bills. The Bills were 29. They beat them 29-23. The temperature was 0 Fahrenheit, winds 12 miles per hour, wind chill minus 14. I still recall Tim Horton calling it Tim Brown caught an 86-yard TD pass from Jeff Hostetler near the end of the fourth quarter. And Bill Brooks caught the winning TD early in the fourth quarter from Jim Kelly, a 22-yard pass and run catch. Kelly was 27 for 37 for 287 yards. He had a great game that day. And then the following Sunday, the 23rd, I was at that game as well. 30-13 over Kansas City. Joe Montana was in his final year, and he was at the end of the line. He hardly played that game or that year. Yeah. And the weather was considerably better. It was 28 to 30 degrees. Marv Levy is 100 years old right now, and if by chance he's living, those two games are going to bring a big smile to his face.
Yeah, he is. He's still alive, and he is 100, and that's amazing. And you're right about it. And I think a lot will be. A lot of what's happening on Sunday will be, you know, remembering and thinking of Marv for a lot of people. And I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's going to be there. I don't know. Like, I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of these memories are tied to Marv in a lot of ways, of course. Gary is in Nashville. Hi, Gary. You're on WGR.
Hey, Happy New Year, Sal.
You too. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Hope the next 364 days go well for you. So, yeah, a lot of memories. Season ticket holder since '88, even though I'm down here for the past handful. And get to your point, Bill Munson. He went out with a girl at a place where I worked, where me and my girlfriend and then wife. Top notch. Some of the stories that you find out from people over when you talk to them is just amazing. And Bill falls under that category. Beautiful human being.
Thank you. Yeah, he was great. I'm glad he was able to make it on today.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But aside from all the big, you know, the comeback game, which I did stay and, you know, got in trouble with all our wives and girlfriends because we had 8 season ticket holders that we were together, all friends, because we didn't make it home until like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and the game was, you know, an afternoon game at that point. The first one is obviously big to me. Is Carolina Panthers 2001, two miserable teams. Carolina had, I think, one win, and we went into the game with either one or two wins, but it was 2001. My son was 7 years old, and for him, you know, Carolina Panthers were his second favorite team at that point. And so, you know, near the end of the game, we left our existing season tickets, went over to the Bills bench, and it was great because it just happened to be when Travis Henry scored to win. We won by 1 point, 25-24. But, you know, to that, for me, and then he became a season ticket holder. As we got older, he took one of my friend's tickets, and we still have him today, even though we don't make it. He's down here in Nashville, too, and we get up for a few games a year. But that to me, you know, obviously the other fathers, you know, in that same realm feel that. But it was it was a win, and it was good weather because it was in December. So it was a memory amongst others. But, you know, that was special.
You got it, Gary. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the phone call. Jack is up next in Connecticut. Hi, Jack. Jack, you're on the air. Go ahead. Uh-oh. Jack, you there?
There was a gym in Connecticut.
Okay, I apologize. Yep, we got it. I got it wrong on my screen. My apologies. Go ahead.
All right, I'll keep it quick. I don't know if you remember. I mentioned my son that's a sports anchor in Rochester. I don't want to go there. But anyway, my memory was a 1975 Monday night game where a guy did the high wire act.
Yeah, that's right.
Across the netting.
Yeah. I do remember. There's video of that too. That's when kind of before the craziness now that's happened and the viral videos and Bills Mafia and all the stuff we saw in the shenanigans in the parking lot, you know, 10 years ago that was going on before the Bills got really good and became more about football. That stuff was kind of the real kind of genesis of Bills fans being a little bit different, right, than a lot of other fans around the league. I grew up with that stuff, and people are like, oh yeah. The way that Bills fans party at games, and this guy walking out on the wire and the goalpost, that was happening on a Monday night game. Another John. All right, I think this is John in Connecticut. Go ahead.
Hi, Sal.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
You too. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'll be quick. But I have a season ticket. I grew up in the Super Bowl years in college, and one of the best memories ever is 9 a.m. every home game, drinking beer with my grandma in the tailgating. And it was the most classiest woman in the world. But she'd say, John, are we drinking a beer? I'm like, Grandma, it's 9 a.m. But my three favorite memories are, one that wasn't mentioned was a game, I think, against the Rams. It might have been Monday night, where Kelly was hurt and Rams were undefeated and Reich was playing. He was just horrible the whole game, horrible. And the last drive of the game, he brings us down, touchdown to Reed. We win the game, and we're like, where the heck did that win come from? I don't even remember the year, probably the Super Bowl years. But, obviously the one you mentioned, the 51-3 game was incredible because it was a celebration. I think after Taley's interception, whenever that happened in the second quarter, it was just a celebration after that. And my family and I went out to I don't think I can mention it, but a certain Italian restaurant in Hamburg afterwards, and the Bills – we used to go there after every game, and I was in the bathroom with Kent Hull, the late, great Kent Hull. And I had to inform him that they were playing the Giants, because the Giants game was at 4 o'clock after their game, and they weren't even paying attention to who they were playing. And of course, we all thought we were going to beat the Giants because we'd beaten them regular season late with Reg playing. Kelly was hurt, and we obviously that didn't happen. But one last thing, the comeback game, Reg throws the interception beginning of the third period. I want to leave the game. And my brother goes, "We're not leaving the game. We're Buffalo Bills fans. Sit back down." So I sat back down.
Love it.
And then the crazy thing about that, so different than the 51-3 game, because you're on the edge.
Yep.
We take the lead on Reed's third touchdown catch, and then Houston drives the ball down to our 10-yard line, seconds left. I'm like, are we really going to lose this game? And then they never threw the ball in the end zone in those three plays and kicked a field goal, and then, of course, the interception. So that was just a crazy...
Amazing, right? I mean, the confluence of events that happened there, and then the field goal they tried where the wind just picked up right at that moment, and they had the bad snap, right, during that game. That happened as well. It was just kind of crazy. Thanks, John. Incredible memories. Steven in Florida's up next. Hi, Steven.
Hey, Happy New Year, Sal. Hey, I just have a couple of quick stories. These are all from the 70s. Well, first of all, I grew up in Buffalo in the University District.
Yep.
And my mom actually took me in the late 60s to a game at the Rock, the War Memorial Stadium. All I remember about that game is Dennis Shaw was the quarterback. But anyway, in the 70s, my Aunt Cora was actually in charge of the personnel in the stadium. So I got to work, I believe it was the 75 season. And I remember standing there, I had a break and watching the game and watching OJ run. And I was just jumping up and down yelling, "Juice, juice, juice." That was really exciting. And then also during that period of time, I was in Boy Scouts. So our troop got the honor of going out there at halftime and helping unfurl a full field American flag. So I was part of that, and that was a great experience. And then I remember, by the way, the Buffalo Evening News, the Sunday edition, there's comics. They had at least one season, a full page caricature in the comic section of all the Bills players for each week. Mm. So I had those tacked up on my wall. And then finally, I remember after a game standing there and waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally my boyhood hero, O.J. Simpson, came out, and I got his autograph, and he was about one of the last players to come out. So those were some real great memories for me, and unfortunately, I went in the military at the end of the 70s, and so I moved out of the area, and I never got to go to any of the other games after that. But I will say this, when the Bills played the Los Angeles Raiders in that blowout, the house that I went to, which was actually my wife's grandparents' house, it didn't have central heating, so the heat wasn't on when I got there. And so what I had to did was I just sat there in my parka watching the game. I figured, well, I'll make it as realistic as I can. Then I watched them blow out the Raiders 51-3. So,
amazing. Great. Yeah. Listen. First of all, Stephen, thank you for your service. I didn't know that. You moved away for that reason. I know you call from Florida a lot, so I appreciate you calling. Thank you for your service. I appreciate that and the memories. My first game ever, 1987, the strike-shortened season. Late in the season, the Bills have to win two games, New England at home and then at Philly. I go to the game against the New England Patriots with one of my best friends from high school, who is now a teacher at Orchard Park High School and a legendary volleyball coach in the area. And he joins me right now, Matt Lexner.
Hey,
Lex is on. What's up, buddy? Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. You came to mind today, and we love each other. We've been friends for 40-plus years, but my first ever game was with you and your brother-in-law.
Yeah, we went out there. It was in New England, and it was bad weather, too, from what I can remember. And actually, the play I always remember, Sean McNandy scooped up a fumble.
That's right.
And I think they blew it dead, though. But
they
lost.
Did.
We ended up losing the game, and we missed the playoffs, correct?
That's right. And if you remember after the game, and I'm sure you remember this, because we parked somewhere kind of off the beaten path, the van was stuck, and we had to push. We were these high school kids, and we were pushing the van out of the stuck mud and snow, basically. Remember that?
That's right. It was snowy and mud. We were shoving this thing. It was a big van, too, right?
It was. And I think you and I, we went to almost every playoff game together after that.
went to the Houston one where the very first one playoff game ever at Rich Stadium, right?
That was, yeah.
We sat with your brother, John.
Yeah, we did, and that was the one Curtis Duncan has the ball on the punt, but Steve Tasker causes the fumble, the muff, and then the Bills recover it. And then we had gone to a couple others. I remember being with you in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City when we knew the Bills were going to a fourth straight Super Bowl, and all you kept saying to me was, I can't believe they're going again. I can't believe they're going again.
It was unbelievable. I actually took my shirt off. It was freezing out.
You did. You took your shirt off. I did not do that. You took your shirt off. Do you have? If you ever had pictures of that, what would your students say about that these days?
Oh, man. I probably wouldn't surprise some of them. They think I'm crazy anyways. Oh, yeah. In a good way. In a good way.
For sure, buddy. For sure, man. Great memories. What's number one for you, though? When you think about it, Lex, what's the number one memory for you in this stadium?
I mean, I think it's Kansas City because we walked around that stadium. They're playing the Ray Charles Georgia song.
And, oh, yeah.
We didn't want to leave. We didn't want to leave.
I remember.
That day.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Well, a lot of memories, buddy, and we're going to savor it this Sunday. Thanks for calling up. I appreciate it. And thanks for taking me to my first ever Bills game back in 87.
Oh, good times. Wish we could do it again.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Well, we definitely can for sure. There, I love that, man. It's my buddy Lex. He's a teacher at Orchard Park now, coach. We grew up together, went to Cleve Hill together, been friends for almost 50 years. Those are the things you remember, right? Going to those games, your first games and friends and people you went with. Let's go to Roy, who's in Dallas. Hi, Roy.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Go Bills, baby.
Yeah.
So this was my first time to Highmark, was for the Eagles game this past weekend. I came up with my uncle, and we had an absolute blast, rain and all. Like they say, nowhere else I'd have rather been than right there, right then.
Yeah.
But I grew up, my dad was born in Buffalo, so an uncle, obviously. And so I grew up listening and watching Bills games with him, listening to him yell at the TV, just go, baby, go. And one of my favorite memories was I came out to the living room one day just hearing him yell. I was like, Dad, why do you hate the Patriots so much? And he goes, I don't. I hate Tom Brady. He's not normal.
Yeah. Wow. And I think Tom Brady ruined a lot of people's childhood and early adulthood. You know what I mean?
I think so, too. But sure. He passed away last year, and I was a Cowboys fan before that. But after he passed away, I was like, I got to go be a Bills fan for him.
Oh,
it's just not right because he was the third, I'm the fourth, so it's just not right not having a Roy yell at the TV every game day. You know?
Love it. Love it, Roy.
But it was awesome. We went to Adolph's and Gene McCarthy's, had some awesome wings, had some true, authentic Buffalo wings. It was awesome. It was an experience I'll never forget. And so I'm so happy I got to make it to one game.
I'm happy for you, too. I'm sorry for your loss of your dad. I'm glad you've been able to honor him like that, though, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
I sprinkled his ashes and on one of the hills just outside the stadium.
Oh, man.
So he'll be there. He'll be where the Ralph stood until the end of time, brother.
Thanks, Roy. Appreciate it, buddy. Man, getting me today. A lot of you are getting me today. Sean McDermott's going to get with us and get with me here in a moment on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's take a quick timeout. Then he's going to be calling, and we'll do the weekly radio segment with Sean McDermott after this timeout on WGR.
A trail 35-31. Wright goes under center. Kenneth Davis behind him, waiting for the snap. Three wide receivers, two to the right. Back to throw. He looks, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored! They have scored to take the lead with 3:08 to play in the game. Andre Reed, three straight touchdowns.
And there it is. Jeffrey Tech tweeted me, at Sal Sports. Jeffrey tweeted, said, Sal, we need more Van Miller clips on the show today. There you go. There's the great Van Miller, voice of the Buffalo Bills for many years, of course. One of the most iconic moments ever at Highmark Stadium. That was during the Bills' comeback against the Oilers. They come back, the greatest comeback in NFL history at the time. And Andre Reed right there from Van Miller. So there you go, Jeff. Thanks a lot. Getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's get to Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
And Sean McDermott joins me on the Wester Hotline right now. Good morning, coach. Good to talk with you. Happy Football Friday to you. Happy New Year, by the way.
And Happy New Year to you and everyone out there, and good Football Friday. It's great to be with you guys again here.
No doubt about it. Of course, we've been spending a lot of time here, Coach, talking about the final regular season game ever at Highmark Stadium. It could be the final final game ever at Highmark Stadium. You were hired in January of 2017. Do you remember the first time you went into the stadium as a Bills employee, what that was like for you?
I do. If I remember correctly, our practice fields were being reconstructed, being worked on. So our spring practice that spring in 2017 was a combination of practicing inside in our field house and then outside. And when we went outside, it was in the stadium. So we got some pretty good exposure to the stadium at an early stage of our time here.
Obviously, you've coached at every venue in this league. What makes Highmark Stadium so special?
Oh my goodness! Do we have 30 minutes?
I know. I've been trying to condense it all morning. It's tough, right? I know it's tough to explain.
It is. Yeah, I mean, it is a unique stadium around the NFL, in particular these days. Just this morning, I'm driving down Abbott Road, and I kind of took a different way to work, and I'm coming up from the intersection of Southwestern and Abbott, and I'm slowing down my car. Thankfully, no one was behind me. I could slow down to about 15 miles per hour, and I'm just looking basically at the stadium as I'm driving by, taking it in and going, okay, this is the last weekend. How unique this view is from the road even. I mean, yeah. How many stadiums are sunken into the ground like this one is, to where you can basically peer into the stadium and almost watch the game, or at least see the fans, see the video screens from the road itself. So just so many cool aspects of this stadium that we'll all remember for the rest of our lives.
No doubt about it. I will tell you, being in the stands for 51-3, the AFC Championship game, knowing that the Bills were going to their first Super Bowl back in 1990 is something that, for me, is the number one memory. A lot of people calling up their number one memory. I'm sure you have many of them, but when you kind of think about, just close your eyes and think about being in that stadium, is there anything that comes to mind for you? Maybe your first game or a certain moment inside the stadium that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, I remember before my first time coaching, it was a preseason game. We came back from training camp. I want to make sure I understand how the headsets were wired for that game. I believe we played maybe Minnesota.
Yep.
And so going down there on the day before, meeting our tech guy to get everything, make sure it's synced up on the headsets the right way. That for sure was one of them. And then also, I mean, there's many of them. You know, right. The wins, my first win, our first win in 2017. Someone snapped a picture of the Bills win on the scoreboard behind me. And I believe it was Kyle was in the frame as well. Just kind of we were celebrating together, and so that moment, and then one thing that really stands out that sometimes I think people forget, but it really to me personifies the connection with the fan base and the heart of our community and our team is the game following the DeMar game, and we take the field and how challenging that week was. It kind of ended up being somewhat of a shorter week, I believe. We take the field against, I believe it was New England, and the opening kickoff is run for a touchdown, is returned for a touchdown, and the place just went crazy, and it was just like unbelievably one heartbeat, and across the whole stadium. And there's a lot of memories I could talk about, but that one I think stands out, and the emotional part of that as well, sharing that memory together was huge.
And then last thing on this, Coach, and I know we talk about all the moments on the field and everything that's happened, but there's so many people who make it possible, right? And I know you even more so than me, of course, but I know just from being the sideline reporter for the last 12 years of all the different stadium operations staff and security staff and food staff, and it's just really amazing what it takes to put on an NFL game. And I know those people mean a lot to you, and those connections and those people and what it's meant to be able to do that. And that's not like they're going to go away necessarily in the new stadium, but this stadium, the way the challenges are and the tunnels and all that, it really makes it for something special with those people.
Oh, there's no doubt. And let's not forget them, right? Because that, right. those games don't go on the way the fans are taken care of. It doesn't happen without all the staff that works game day. And even, you know, we have a chance outside of my window here to watch the days leading up to a home game and all the work that's being done over yep. there. And, you know, I get a chance at the end of the game, even as late as this past weekend's games, late Sunday night. And usually I'm one of the last to pull out of the stadium. And, you know, you get a chance to see the staff who are still there and thank them for all their work and all their dedication and commitment. Because, you know, those are the people that may not get their names in the paper, but they're certainly appreciated in the job that they've done over the years.
You said last week, earlier this week, keeping the main thing, there's a lot of different kinds of, I don't know if I want to use the word distractions, but things are popping up, as you said. And for sure this week, right? You got this game to play, but you have obviously the Highmark Stadium stuff. You have how to balance everything with health and, you know, where you guys are with, you know, what you want to do with certain players. How has that been for you this week with your staff to work through all of that that's going on with it?
Yeah, certainly things, you know, different chapters of the book, I'll call it, that we've got to work through this week compared to other weeks. And, you know, we need to obviously prioritize the safety of our players as best we can. And yet at the same time, we want to play well and we want to, you know, do right by the fans as best we can in this case. So trying to balance that along with other things that come up just week to week, any week in the NFL. And so it's been an interesting week that way, but that's what we sign up for. It's what I sign up for as the head coach of this team. And we're just excited to play one more game in this stadium in front of our fans and sharing that moment together.
Well, you do have some players, obviously, who've been a bit banged up. They're on the injury report, and you just said, you know, making sure these guys are safe and healthy beyond this week is also important. Is there anybody you know will not play in this game on Sunday?
Yes, three guys will not play for sure at this point. That'll be Terrell Bernard, Daquan Jones, and Jordan Poyer. Those three will not practice today, and they'll be ruled out at this point for the game. And from there, it kind of goes on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, I want to ask you specifically about Josh Allen. He hasn't practiced for a couple of days still with the foot injury. He also has a starting streak that people talk about. It's important to him, the organization. Have you decided what is going to happen with Josh this week and how you're going to handle that?
Well, he'll be limited today. You know, we wanted to make sure his health was A1 the last 2 days, and he had two good days of recovery, and today he'll be out there and be limited, and he'll be good to go for the game, and we'll take it one day at a time here.
And then, obviously, you have, you know, different things you guys as an organization and individually might care about as far as records or stats. And, like, I know that the team comes first, but last year, James Cook, the rushing TD stat mattered, of course, to you guys, and he got that. He's also leading the league right now in rushing yards. Like, how do you approach that particular aspect of the game and thinking about how you want to handle James in this situation?
Yeah, that's another chapter. You know, as you mentioned, all the things to consider this week in particular. So we're aware of that. We're fully aware of that. That'll be something that we do our best with within the situation that we're in terms of this weekend and the playoffs next week.
All right, Red Helmets coming out, celebrating the 90s, the final game at Highmark. It's going to be emotional. What's the message to the team this week, Coach, and how to approach this game with, yes, you know, a lot more still on the table to be had, but certainly a special game this Sunday?
Yeah, listen, first and foremost, I love the Red Helmets. When we first got here, I asked for those, and weren't able to get them, but love to see them back. It's what I remember growing up watching the Bills over the years, and I'm a big fan. So that'll be fun to see. The players seem to enjoy them so far as they're working with them in practice. And but the biggest thing right now is, you know, we're going to have some guys that are, you know, maybe playing in a game that they don't normally get a chance to play in, and we'll have some that are used to playing. So it's going to be a combination of situations there, and the guys are excited to play. The stadium's going to be energetic, and it's just going to be a great environment for a game, and we're all going to try and do it the right way here as we end up our last game at this stadium here.
It's going to be emotional for sure, Coach. Have fun with it on Sunday. Good luck on Sunday, and we're going to talk next Friday, by the way, before your team's first playoff game. So thank you for doing this again today.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We know that there's no Terrell Bernard, there's no Daquan Jones, and there's no Jordan Poyer in this game. Everybody else is, as Sean McDermott said, in a case-by-case basis. Interesting. Josh Allen, folks, I would tell you, I'd be stunned if Josh didn't start the game. I think even McDermott kind of said he's going to start the game. And then they'll see where it goes from there, how much he's going to play. But he's going to keep his active starting streak intact. We know that with one start, Josh Allen, this particular start on Sunday, will start his 135th consecutive game. That includes the playoffs. Pretty remarkable. It's a streak that's important to him. It's important to him to be available, to be out there. He's talked about it. James Cook, rushing title. Sean McDermott said they're very aware of that, right? I mean, these are things that have to be thought about going into the game. Bills head coach Sean McDermott right there. Next up on the Western Hotline is our guy Patrick Hammer.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
We do it every Friday. Pat Hammer, WGRZ, TV2 chief meteorologist. So many memories of the stadium on the field. So many memories of people going to their first game. Crazy stories. The guy said he got basically almost thrown out. He bought fraudulent tickets, but then they let him stay. Going with your family members. But you know what? How about weather games, right? And watching it from a unique perspective, from a meteorologist perspective. And that's where Pat Hammer comes in. And I said to Pat, I want to ask you about a little bit of that. Like, when you watch a game, like, how are you watching it and consuming it? Is it about the game? Is it about the weather? So he joins me right now. And you've had some time to think about that, right? It's been some really, really interesting stuff with weather over the years that you've been here.
Yeah, and I'll say maybe the greatest impact is I'll be watching, let's say, from home or somewhere, and the weather isn't turning out as I thought. And so, for instance, I'll never forget the 49er game last year when we thought the snow would be over in the first quarter. And in the fourth quarter, it was still snowing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes we try to be as accurate as you can, and there's going to be hits and misses. So I think when I'm at home watching and I'm like, it's not supposed to be raining. Why is it raining? You know, so I'll have that kind of reaction. I will say, though, for a stadium that has had so much history with snow and wind, there is one game that you can still refer to it as the snow game. And it's amazing to me, after 53 years, there is still just that game, which was a game that I took my two kids to. Against the Indianapolis Colts in 2017, that to me will, an experience I'll never forget.
No doubt about it. When you watch these weather games, like, are you excited when you see bad weather? I mean, I know it sounds weird, right? I'm on the field, it's pouring rain. Are you like, no, this is cool, this is good theater, I'm a meteorologist. Like, how do you take all that in?
100%. In fact, I am incredibly excited for this new stadium. But okay. I also know the weather impact will not be as great as it is now, right? Because of just the configuration of the stadium. So I love the fact that in one of the snowiest locations in the entire country, we have a football stadium. Think about that.
Yeah.
Orchard Park, New York. Outside of Oswego or Syracuse, it's got to be the snowiest location in the country in terms of a populated area. And smack dab in the middle of that is a football stadium. I love the weather's impact. I know it's not always fun to be out there in the pouring rain like you had to do last Sunday, but you know what? Sometimes it's you know, maybe it's the 12th man, as they say in Seattle. It's having, who knows if it's a home field advantage. I'd like to think it is, but weather. I'm going to miss some of that just because, yes, it'll snow at the new stadium, but the wind won't be a factor anymore. Neither probably will be the cold. So I don't know. A weather person, I like the weather aspect.
It'll be interesting. Did you watch yet? Have you watched the Farewell to Highmark that's on YouTube, 45 minutes? Have you watched it yet?
I'm new to this area, 10 years. Okay. So I'm still learning the lore and the history of the stadium. And I watched that, the Chris Berman stuff, interviewing, of course, Tasker. Yes. All of that whole, I loved it. I loved hearing that. Oh, they thought they would put it in Amherst. Oh, yeah. Maybe in South Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, the McKinley Mall in Hamburg. I had no idea that was a possibility. But I loved hearing the history. And obviously, I knew about most of the games, of course. But to hear and watch that, it was so well done. And I hope
all of your listeners get a chance to watch it too. It was amazing.
And the stuff with like the way it's built, and you know that wind comes down, it goes underneath. I was fascinated about how they don't have the water issues because of the shale and all that, right? It's amazing. Yeah. It really is amazing the things that go into like I did work construction a couple summers in my life. Like I helped pour concrete walls, like these foundations. The toughest job I ever did. I'm like, no, I talk on a radio for a living. This is what I want to do. I'm talking to radio. I don't want to do that. The things that go into some of these construction projects are just so fascinating to me. And then this new stadium that's coming, as you said, it's going to be really interesting to see when we do have weather events and how it reacts and what's going to happen on the field and in the stands and all that. So that's next year, of course. Let's talk about Sunday, though. 48 hours from now, people will be starting to, they'll be tailgating, they'll be walking into the stadium, and a few hours after that, what are we looking at Sunday for the probable final trip to Highmark Stadium this season and ever?
Yeah, it was hard to... I noted that it would likely be the last Highmark forecast.
Yeah.
The weather looks, in my opinion, ideal. Okay. It's the opposite, of course, of what you dealt with last Sunday in terms of just the wetness. It's going to be dry. Temperatures in the 20s, so maybe a tad cool, but sometimes I think, you know, it makes it feel even cozy, if you will. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a kickoff temperature of about 22 to 23 degrees, 425, mostly cloudy, even though we may get a glimpse of the setting sun, which would be awesome if we can get the clouds to clear out a bit, which is possible. Can we rule out a flurry? No, because we are going to have snow Saturday night. For early tailgaters, there may be some snow showers on Sunday. But I just think with a lack of wind, temperatures that with a big crowd will be comfortable, and certainly no freezing rain or anything like that, it really looks like a nice late afternoon and evening for football. Order up anything better.
I love it. It sounds great. And then what about people coming home? No issues, right? Traveling, anything like that? Going to the stadium before the game, tailgating, any travel issues to and from?
Not at all. In fact, I think getting there and back is going to be just fine. And I also like the fact that I know that a lot of fans are helping clear out the stadium, which means that much like the Steelers playoff game, was it 2 years ago, when every time the Bills scored a touchdown or a field goal, whatever, or a good play, and there was snow in the stadium, everybody lofted snowballs.
Yeah.
And I don't care how old you become a kid at heart.
No, don't say snowballs. The confetti, the snow confetti. Don't say the snowballs. I don't want people throwing snowballs on the field. Snow confetti up in the air.
Throw the snow up.
There you go. There you go.
Throw it up.
I love it. Hey, real quick. Good. And I was going to say, I got to let you go, but let's remember now. A week from today, we are going to talk, okay? And I need you to be ready for either Denver weather, Foxborough weather, Jacksonville weather, Pittsburgh weather, or Baltimore weather, or even, I guess, Houston weather, even though it would be, I mean, that could still happen, I guess. There's an outside guess. There's six different cities I need you to be ready for.
And guess what? Six very different forecasts for each and every one of those places.
So I can imagine.
I'm working on it now, you know, I think Jacksonville may be the most ideal. Denver's going to be tough because of altitude.
Ooh, yeah.
A lot of players aren't accustomed to that yet, right?
I think Denver is much less likely because they're going to try and win and get the number one seed, and they're playing the Chargers, who aren't really going to need to win, so that's fine. I agree with you. To me, it's either Jacksonville or Foxborough, but I'm not shutting the door on either Pittsburgh or Baltimore. I think the way things could go this weekend, it could be that. So we'll talk to you next Friday. Happy New Year. I hope you had a great New Year, and I can't wait to talk about the playoffs next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Al.
You got it. Pat Hammer right there, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. One more time out. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. All right, real quick here. Mike's been waiting a long time, so I don't want to have him not be left out here. Go ahead, Mike. You're on WGR.
Amazing. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I've been over to probably 125 games in that stadium. One of my core memories there was probably the Dolphins game back in 2002, which I believe Matt LeVay mentioned in his stadium series documentary. I was 10 years old at the time. Just started going to games with my dad. The Bills won 38-21, and it was snowing the entire second half. I remember the whole stadium started singing, "Let us know, let us know, let us know," as the Dolphins got the ball in the fourth quarter. The Bills were dominating. We would split season tickets back then with a group of people for years back. We got them ourselves. We would draft them each year. And after that game, my dad and I would always have the Dolphins be our first overall pick due to the rivalry. truly going to miss the Ralph, but, you know, the memories will live on forever. Go Bills.
That's amazing. You got it. All right. I got something about that game, too, real quick. I just want to check on this to make sure this is correct, because I think that was the year. He said 2002, I believe, right? 2002, I believe he said. Okay. Wouldn't have been the year. My wife, Yana, when we were living in Florida, her first ever game was early 2000s against the Dolphins. We came up together. She went to that game. Bills didn't win that game, though. The one you're talking about, they did. So wasn't the right year. But anyway, great memory there for me as well. All right, real quick, so everybody understands the scenario this weekend, all right? The Bills right now are in the seventh seed in the AFC. If they lose, they remain the seventh seed, and they'll go to the two seed. If they win and one of Chargers or Texans lose, the Bills will be the sixth seed. If they win and both Chargers and Texans lose, Bills will be the five seed. Still a lot on the table. It feels like the Chargers will probably not win because they're not really playing a lot of guys, and Denver needs to win that game. So the Bills have a great chance to jump them to the six as long as the Bills win. And then it does feel like the Texans will be playing to win. Well, they will be playing to win, but that would probably, unless they're scoreboard watching, they pull guys out. I think the Bills' most likely scenario is the six. It's still open to the five, still open to the seven. All right. I would really, really ask a lot of you to go to the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Matt Bove and I have so much more on stadium memories that we talk about, our own stadium memories throughout the years, people he's talked to for his series on WKBW. We have so much more to get to this game Sunday. We are going to be outside for the pregame show. Jeremy and Joe, I'll be there with the roundtable and Chris and Eric outside near the Ralph Wilson statue, near the Bills store for Sunday's game. Come say hi. It's the last game at Highmark Stadium. Enjoy it. Have fun. We'll have the coverage for you all day long at WGR Sports Radio 550. And then the best part is we talk about the playoffs next week. Have a great Friday. Have a great rest of your weekend. We got the Sabres tomorrow. Pregame at 2. Puck drops at 3. Going for a franchise record 11 in a row. Thanks for tuning in today in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.